It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk with an Eau Claire author who's written the ultimate guide to a childhood classic, The Kitty Cocktail.
First, a new report out this week from the U.S. Conference of Mayors shows some good and bad economic news. The country has regained the 8.7 million jobs lost in the recession, but the average wage has dropped 23%. It also found that income inequality appears to have grown in more than two in three metropolitan areas between 2005 and 2012.
The report shines the spotlight on the growing wage gap in the United States. The mayors say they want answers. They say income inequality is a threat to American values. But where do you start when it comes to addressing that gap?
Joining us now to talk about some of the findings and how Wisconsin has been affected is Laura Dresser. She's the Associate Director at the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So a mixed bag here, yay on the jobs front, nay to the lower wages. What was your initial reaction to this report?
You know, even the yay on the jobs front should be pretty tempered because there's a lot more people who live in the country today. The population has grown since 2008. And so just finally getting back to the 2008 level of employment actually means we're still behind. We're still missing 5 to 10 million jobs to make up for the population growth. So even there, you know, the news isn't great. But thank heavens we're finally back to 2008 levels at the national so that is good news, or better news than not being there.
And yet the jobs are paying lower wages. What's happening there?
Well, the recession was a brutal one for manufacturing and construction. Those sectors have come back up a little bit and have nowhere near recovered their losses. Accommodation and food and retail trade, which are pretty low-wage sectors, are the places that have generated the biggest gains in the recovery. And so what you have is a gap where we lost a lot of high-wage jobs, an average wage, annual wage of $61,000 in the high-wage jobs, the way the U.S. Conference of Mayors calculated it, and an average wage in the gates coming in, jobs coming in at about $47,000. So we're losing jobs that pay better. We're bringing in jobs that pay less money, and that is dragging down the economy as well.
Do you see that as a trend that's just going to keep on continuing, or do you see that turning around anytime?
Well, certainly as long as the labor market is as weak as it is, and I say weak because while we're at the 2008 level of employment, given the population change, it's still easier a labor market for an employer with a long line of people trying to come in the door than it is for an employee. So as long as that dynamic still is favoring the employer, it's hard to get much pressure on wages, especially when you have a structural shift moving construction and manufacturing out of the picture and moving retail and accommodation and food into the picture. So I would say looking forward, we've got to see a little bit more strength in the recovery and a shift back to the higher wage sectors, stronger growth from professional and technical, stronger growth from the healthcare and the educational sectors.
Now, income inequality was another topic in this report. What did it show about the country and about Wisconsin?
Well, it looks very carefully, and I suggest the geeks in the audience go look at the data because you can find every metropolitan area, 350 metropolitan areas in the nation. What it shows is that for two-thirds of those metropolitan areas, income inequality is higher at the end of the recession than it was before the recession, 2005 versus 2012. And they're measuring that in terms of the share of the population with very high income relative to the share with low, and that's growing apart. This is a long-term story in the U.S. economy, but it has and it was temporarily overturned as in 2008. Very wealthy people were hit hard by the financial losses. But ever since the recovery has begun, and even before that, this has been an inequality-producing recovery as well. And so we're just on a long, long march where economic growth generates returns at the top, stagnation at the bottom, and wage decline. A stagnation at the middle and wage decline for those at the bottom of the labor force.
But in terms of that trend, at least in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin seems to be looking a little better in terms of income inequality.
Yeah, it's interesting the diversity you can even see within the state. Fond du Lac does pretty well in terms of not generating a lot of inequality over this period. In fact, it's one of the cities that gets less unequal over the period. Madison and Milwaukee both are pretty unequal and increase. But you can see a lot of divergence. The picture of wage income distribution is very different in Madison and Milwaukee, but the trend ends up being sort of similar.
Well, as you see it, what are some of the societal impacts of long-term income inequality?
I think one of the things is that as the rewards to general growth move more into fewer and fewer hands, it has a kind of corrosive effect on our public life and our public investments and our sense of a public good. The people with the greatest resources are more and more isolated. They tend to move more and more privately, whether that's private schools, private golf courses. They have the resources to move away from the public goods. And the income trends at the middle mean that the folks at the middle are seeing less money in the future than they see today. And so they're more concerned about taxes and other ways of that they feel like they don't control their money. And so you see a kind of simultaneous inequality undermining the democracy and undermining our joint investment in public things, I think.
Now, going back to the lower wages that we're seeing in these jobs that have been added, how does Wisconsin fare in that case?
Well, you know, accommodations and food, retail trade, these are the nation's low-wage sectors. The half or more of the workers in these jobs earn just at the minimum or just barely above it. Moving the minimum wage actually makes an enormous difference in retail trade and accommodation and food in terms of the income that that gets earned down there. So a lot of states have been experimenting with increasing minimum wages, some cities as well, where that's possible. And I think that makes a big difference in terms of the job quality for those jobs coming in. Still, they're still low-wage jobs. It's just a kind of higher floor that some states are beginning to establish. Wisconsin hasn't gone there yet.
And in terms of how Wisconsin, the trend for the future here, would you say that Wisconsin is well positioned in the coming years as compared to the rest of the country?
You know, Wisconsin is well positioned in some ways, though. I think Wisconsin has traditionally been a relatively low income inequality state. That is, and that's mostly because we have not had as many very super wealthy people here as other states have. And so, you know, we always tend to look like a more equal state rather than a less equal state. And as you said, you know, some cities actually got through this last 5 years and became more equal over the course of time. But the national economy and the Wisconsin economy are both becoming more unequal. Wisconsin's answer to inequality in some ways has been the quality of our manufacturing job base. But that has really, while it's, you know, more jobs than it was a few years ago, we're still 3 jobs for every 4 jobs that we had in manufacturing 15 years ago. That answer to inequality and middle-class mobility that we have had so long is just never going to be as strong as it was a generation ago. And that means we need to find other sectors and other answers for a strong middle-class future for this state.
Now, in terms of bringing jobs back in the higher-wage sectors, what is it going to take for that to happen?
Well, that's a $64,000 a year question, right? I don't know the exact answer. I mean, you know, I think kind of economic development efforts that many people are trying focused on higher wage jobs. Investment, though, I think, I mean, I guess my answer is investment in the infrastructure that supports education and those industries, you know, the transportation and the broadband that supports the higher wage industries. And a strong, strong educational base that requires investment from kindergarten or pre-kindergarten clear through our 4-year school system, our universities. That's what's going to build the workforce of the future. And that takes real money. It doesn't, and we're actually moving away from investing in that as much.
We'll leave it there. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Laura Dresser is the Associate Director at the Center on Wisconsin Strategy.